The God who has poured out his gifts into our lives is present here with us by his Holy Spirit. And he greets us with these words, "Grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ through the mighty and ongoing work of God's Holy Spirit." Amen. Amen. Good morning and welcome to worship at LaGrave, whether you're worshiping here with us in the sanctuary or online from somewhere else. A special welcome to those who are worshiping with us for the baptisms who are visiting today. It is so good to be able to worship together in this space this morning. There are a couple of memories of worship in this building that stand out profoundly for me because they're so full of gratitude for the ability to worship together. And one of those times was shortly after COVID, when we could first come back and be together in this space after we'd worshiped from home and had an empty sanctuary for a period of time. And you know what I'm going to say next? We're so grateful to be able to worship in this space this morning after a fire that you all heard about this week, that you witnessed driving into the parking lot this morning. So it's good to be safe. It's good to be together. It's good to be looking to Jesus as we anticipate our next steps. And at the same time, we lament the destruction that has happened here. We lament the physical loss of that space, the art, the history, the worship, the organ that's in there. We lament the loss of hours of deliberations, of meetings, of prayers, of opportunities that we were imagining about how that space as it was might be used for ministry with our youth and with our neighbors. And so just for today, there's a lot that we don't know yet. You might expect that. What we do know is that our church, its buildings, its people, we're God's. We're God's. And so we are trusting that the God who has been faithful to this community over the last 100 and almost 40 years is going to carry us the next part of the way into the future. You will notice this morning that the northeast section of the church is closed for the time being, and that's because that east wall of the building next door is compromised, and we need to be sure that nobody's going to be in the path of a portion of that wall falling down. So nursery's been relocated upstairs. There's a district coffee that was planned to be in the parlor. If you're here for that today, go on up to room 200. After the service, your coffee time will be in there. There will still be fellowship, coffee, and conversation in the multipurpose room down the hall and to the right through the narthex. So those are things to know for today, and we'll do our best to keep you informed about what's coming next. As we know, there's already people talking and working on the next steps. So you should also know that LaGrave's Council and Long Range Plan Committee are continuing to focus on the long-term goals and visions that we've already had. We have a new set of circumstances. So we'll be working together to take the next days and weeks as they come, trusting God as we determine those steps together. So please continue, as you already have, continue in prayer for the people of our church, for the ministry visions of our church, and for the next thing that God has in store for us here. Okay, kind of heavy. And now we get to do some beautiful parts of our life together. We get to welcome some new members to this community. Although they've been around LaGrave for a period of time, we have Tim and Sue Visser and Nick Rosema. And Tim and Sue, I saw you, and if you could stand where you are. And Nick, I don't know if you're here or not, but if you are, I welcome you to stand at this time too. Oh, yep, you're right next to them. You did just what you were asked to do. Thanks for that. you should know about these folks. Their faces might be familiar because they have been around LaGrave for a little while, and we're so grateful to celebrate with you this morning the start of a new official membership in this church body. Nick is a West Michigan native. He attended Calvin Christian High School in Grand Valley State University, and he's been living near downtown Grand Rapids for the last couple of years. And he works as a data analyst at Michigan 211, which is a service that connects residents of our community with resources in the area, health and human resources. He loves to read. He's a classics major and likes Latin and Greek. Yay for you. Spread that love to the rest of us a little bit. He likes classical music. He likes the Grand Rapids Symphony. And perhaps it comes as no surprise that you found the worship style very familiar to you in a place where you felt at home to worship. Incidentally, Nick's grandma is Kathy Rosema. She's been a long-term member of our church. So you can, if you know her, you can put the two of them in a family tree together. And Nick, we're so glad that this is going to be your church home. And Tim and Sue Visser have been throughout the Midwest and as far west as Montana working in schools, Christian schools. Tim was a school administrator, and Sue, you were a kindergarten teacher and a reading specialist. And after they retired, the two of them moved to Grand Rapids to be closer to their family members, daughters, six grandchildren, and siblings that are in the area. So things they like to do for fun right now in their time is exercise at the YMCA. They like to read and bike, spend time with grandchildren, and reconnect with the family and friends in the area. They're outdoorsy and love the national parks. We're thankful already for your investment here. You've been involved already with Kids Hope and a dinner group that you joined last year, and we pray that, you know, God continues to weave you into this community. Welcome to LaGrave. And finally, we extend a special welcome to Dr. Reggie Smith to LaGrave's pulpit this morning. So we did not give him the memo that, you know, when he was asked to be a guest preacher, he might be filling the pulpit on a Sunday after a major catastrophe at our church. So we're so grateful, Reggie, that you were still up for joining us for worship this morning. You currently are serving as the director of diversity ministry at Thrive, an arm of the denominational ministry. You also have worked as the director of race relations and social justice for the Christian Reformed Church. And Reggie, your gift in my life has been that you were one of the first people to teach me boots on the ground about neighborhood and community ministry. And that has served me well, and I'm grateful. So welcome, and thank you for being in our church this morning. This morning, our service theme focuses on the transforming love of Jesus in our lives. Jesus' call to us changes us. So let's turn our hearts toward God, hearing this call to confession from Acts chapter 9. This is about Saul. As Saul neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground, and he heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Creating, redeeming, sustaining God, you've made us to know you, and our hearts are restless until we find our rest in you. Some of us have felt your love in our lives since we were small. Others of us remember clearly when we said yes to Jesus, who said yes to us first. All of us know that a lifelong journey with you, God, isn't always onward and upward. Sometimes we run ahead or lag behind you, or we lose sight of you, though you are never far. Forgive our sins, both willful and foolish. In your mercy, light our way so that with repentance and joy, we see and claim again that you are Lord, not only for others, but also for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hear the good news. Jesus has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. He has brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. In him we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
God pours out his amazing love, and he gives us the opportunity to be receptacles of that amazing love. And as we celebrate baptism together today, we're reminded of the way that God washes and fills and sets us free to be people of good news for the world. Romans 6, 3 to 5, Paul writes this: all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of God the Father, we too might live a new life. Before Jesus began his public ministry, he went through the waters of baptism himself, and he heard the voice of his Father speaking blessing and commissioning delight over his life. And today, little Josie Lubin and Catherine Van Eerden will be invited into the family of God. They will hear God's promise to be God for them. And although they won't remember this day, today marks God's offer of partnership with them, a promise of faithfulness, commissioning, so that they, along with the rest of us, can be vessels of grace in God's world. God has always sought to be in relationship with his people, to keep covenant with them. You see that over and over in the Old Testament, where he says, I will be their God, and they will be my people. God's promise from the beginning to be God was for children as well as for adults. We see that in the covenant sign of circumcision, where God marked in the bodies of the people that belonged to him that they belonged to him. In the covenant of baptism, God also marks us invisibly on our foreheads. He marks us as his own people. He frees us from the power of sin and death, unites us with our Lord Jesus Christ. And by the Holy Spirit, Jesus comes and makes his home in us. When we baptize little ones like Catherine and like Josie, we're reminded that God's grace is for them, just like it is for grown-ups. And we will teach them, as much as they'll listen, from a young age, that they are set apart as God's own kids. And we look forward with anticipation and prayer and joy for the day when they will respond to God for themselves. So Noah and Allison and Charles and Lindsay, if you would stand right where you are for your vows, that would be great. I have a series of questions for you, and at the end I will ask each of you to respond with "we do," God helping us. So parents, do you believe and claim that Jesus is your Savior, the one who restores you to right relationship with God, the one who holds everything together, and the one who makes everything new? Further, do you believe that your children have been born with the same sinful nature that all of us share, that they too are in need of God's grace, and that baptism is a mark of God's covenant of grace for children of believing parents? And finally, do you promise to do everything you can as you rely on God's Holy Spirit for the strength and the wisdom to raise your kids, that you will do all you can to raise Josie and Catherine so that they also see their need for Jesus and they come to know Christ as the Lord of their life? Allison and Noah, what is your answer? Amen. And Charles and Lindsay, what is your answer? Amen. Congregation, we also make vows at the time of baptism. These families have prayer partners assigned to them as a way for our church to demonstrate and practice a commitment to care and pray for these children. And they are Ginny Geldhoff and Ellie Vanderwell. And Ginny and Ellie are here today standing with you in prayer, although they won't come up. For the rest of us, let's join our voices in our commitment to these two children. Do you, the family of God at LaGrave Christian Reformed Church, promise to receive Josie and Catherine in love, Do you promise to pray for them, to teach them about Jesus, and to encourage them in their faith journey as God gives you the opportunity to do so? Congregation, what is your answer? We do. God helping us. So families and prayer partners and kids, not prayer partners, families and kids, come on up. This is the moment of witnessing the baptism. Yeah, and you guys can come right on over here. And kids, you can come right here. Try to get a good spot to see. Can you guys see? Can you see the kids? Okay, great, great. So the babies are sweet and they're cute. Baptism isn't about them. It's about God. And God is going to do something where he promises by marking them to be their God. So Catherine Van Eerden, for you, Jesus Christ came into the world. And for you, Josie Lubin, he lived and died, and he showed God's love. All these things he did for you, even though you don't know anything about it yet, we love because Jesus first loved us. Charles and Lindsay, come this way, and Lewis too. Catherine Van Eerden, you are asleep. Baptism might wake you up. Catherine Van Eerden, I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And Josie. Josie, I baptize, Lubin, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son. And of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come with me right over here. So, friends, here's Josie. Here's Catherine. And you might remember, some of you are related to Catherine, so you know her story. Others of you are now related to Catherine because she is your sister in Jesus. We prayed for Catherine because she spent some time in the hospital. So it's a special day that we get to celebrate her baptism today. These are your family members now too. So as you can, show them what it's like to be a child of Jesus, okay? We'll pray for them together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a gift to celebrate the life that you offer us in Christ. Thank you for the Van Eerdens, for the Lubins, for their desire for their children to know and love and serve you. I pray for wisdom and energy and perseverance and strength, opportunities for them to have conversations and to practice and enact the love and the ways of Jesus at home. So that these kiddos, too, come to know, love, and serve you. Now, Lord, bless them and keep them. Make your face shine on them and be gracious to them. Lift up the light of your face upon them and give them your peace. Amen. You may go back to your seats. Just a couple of congregational updates for you before we go to prayer. Sandra Destremps is hospitalized in Ionia. We printed Lansing in the bulletin. That's not quite right. And Grace Shearer has now returned home. This morning, our pastoral prayer will include a little bit of space for the quiet of your heart to lift your own praises and petitions to God. So as we do that, feel free, if you would like to settle into the pew, adjust your posture as is comfortable, maybe hands open if you sense something you want to release or receive from God. Feel the sturdiness of the pew under you if you're feeling unsettled, as a reminder of God's strength. Let's go to God in prayer. Jesus, you are the Word of God made flesh. Because you have come near to us, we can draw near to listen for your voice and lean into your goodness. What we need most is you. You had us in your mind before the world was formed. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God, faithful across generations. Lord, you are strong. Lord, you are loving. Hear our hearts as we lift our praises to you. God who walked in our shoes, you know we don't always understand what you're up to. But we believe that you never leave us, you never forsake us, and that nothing in all of creation can separate us from your love. Assure us that this is true for us today. As we draw near to your word, we also draw near to your presence with our worries and our wonderings, our questions, our griefs. This week, we witnessed destruction. Fire here, flood there, wars, rumors of wars. And while we await your renewal of all things with hope, we lament. Jesus, Son of God, have mercy, especially on the people of Nepal, the communities of Rasuwa and Nuwakot, for the impossible struggle they are facing. Prevent further flooding, protect life, strengthen rescuers, community leaders. Comfort those who grieve or wait for news, send aid that can get to where it's needed. Show through your church your concern for suffering. Hear our prayers for those communities. Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on us in this space too. Those who feel that an avalanche of water and mud has cascaded into their souls. Comfort those among us who grieve. Sharon Lanning and her family following Nick's death. Scott and Susan Koistra trying to make sense of things after the death of their grandson Luke. Strengthen all in our community facing cancer, including those receiving hospice or hospital care even now. Dan Beamers and Bruce Quinn. Encourage those in the hospital or doing the hard work of rehab. Grace, Ron, Sandra, Norma. Hear now our silent prayers for one another and for ourselves. Strengthen LaGrave Church, Lord, in its calling as a church in the city and under the cross. Make us strong together as we look to Jesus, who pioneered and perfected our faith. Let us begin this unexpected chapter remembering that when we were without hope, without God in the world, you came looking for us. You made us alive in Christ so that the lives we live, we would live for him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What a day to be at LaGrave. I'm Reggie Smith, and I work for Thrive, which is a ministry of church renewal and church revitalization for the Christian Reformed Church. And for a few years, I was the pastor at Roseville Park Community Christian Reformed Church for 20 years. And it's good to be here with you. And for our word this morning, we will look at Titus 3. Titus 3, verses 3 through 7. Hear the word of the Lord. At that time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passion and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of the rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is the word of the Lord. LaGrave, y'all had plans. Y'all had plans all the way up to Wednesday night. And then something happened. Something happened. Right over there. I remember watching my friend and your pastor, Peter Yonker, who I used to play basketball with and had the honor of chasing him more times than I care to admit. But Peter said in the interview that we had big plans for that building. Since acquired in 2017, we had big plans that it would be a place in which those who are having challenges with housing would be a part of that. And building partners with Degage and Mel Trotter, that was supposed to be a place in which people would be able to come and be able to find a sense of place. LaGrave, you had plans. And then you did an awful lot. And during those years of meeting and praying and spending money, in fact, you had a meeting this past Thursday about that exact same thing. Don't you just love it when God throws a boomerang in our plans? We all have plans. And Paul and Titus had a plan that they would go to this little island called Crete. They had plans that they would go to this little place where these Cretans, which we get the word, which isn't exactly a great word to be called. When's the last time you felt good somebody called you a Cretan? I don't think so. It always had a negative connotation to it, and yet Paul and Titus were going to this little island, and they were going to turn those who were more involved in the Roman Empire than with the cross of Christ. Paul and Titus had plans, but maybe when they got there, maybe God threw them a curveball, and maybe they said to themselves, these people? These people, they are wild and wily and uncontrollable, and they got issues. Not like us. We don't have issues. Paul and Titus had to spend some time trying to figure out what does it mean for turning these Cretans into Christians. What did they needed to do? What did they needed to instill? Because they had plans for them. But very often God takes our plans and turns them upside down. And he invites you and I in on those plans if we are willing to be able-bodied and come along with that change. What does it mean for us, LaGrave, as you now have this building? What is God's plan for that? And what is God's plan for you as you now rethink, reimagine what God is up to so that you will continue to be a blessing down here in the city under the cross of Christ. Hallelujah. I heard from a friend 2 years ago, there was a woman living in that building. And she was living in that building. Nobody even knew she was there. And she lived there for quite a while, because if you've ever been in that building, you can live there and nobody would ever know if you were there. There are all these little cracks and crevices, and she just made a home there and felt so good. Didn't have to pay no rent or nothing. But then she made this mistake. She meandered over into the sanctuary and turned on the lights. Oh, she got found out. It's easy to say that she was a little wild and wily little thing. But that's exactly what Paul and Titus was dealing with. Some wild and wily people who entire life had been built on, they watched gladiators in the arena. And that was the way in which you would gain notoriety and status. If you can kill and not be killed, you became somebody. And so it makes sense that they wrapped themselves around those kind of values. But then Paul and Titus began to work with them, began to practice what does it mean to be under the conditions of Jesus Christ? What does it mean to live under the conditions of the cross? What does it mean to turn your life from a Cretan to a Christian? And it's fundamentally different than what they had before. They were wild and wily. And that was something that Paul knew an awful lot about, because he was wild and sure enough wily. Pastor Chrissy read to us Acts 9, giving us a little snapshot of Paul's life. He wasn't exactly a really nice guy if you were a Christian. He came looking for you. And he was willing to do whatever it takes in order for his way of life, his way of Judaism, would continue. But then Jesus got a hold of him. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And it would be the very person, a Christian named Ananias, and we all know this. When Paul came to him, he said, "This guy? This guy, isn't this the guy who was killing us? And you want me to open up his eyes to him? Are you out of your mind, Jesus?" And Jesus says, "Absolutely. Absolutely." Verse 3 tells us a little bit of what the Cretans were: disobedient, envious, malice, hating one another and hating each other. But then Paul and Titus began to reframe what the story was for them, because God had plans for them. But when they came into the kindness and the love of God the Savior, when they came into the kindness of the love of God the Savior, that was the new story. That was the new narrative. That was the story. It said that your life is not defined by by verse 3. It is defined by verse 4. That when you enter into this life with God through Jesus Christ, You're no longer defined by the values of the culture. You are defined under the auspices and the glory and the majesty and the grace of Jesus, who says, I got plans for you, even if you don't know it. Oh, the grave, as you stare at this building, charred with stone and wood, God has plans for y'all, if I can use my mama's vernacular. You see, the building may be burnt, but you see, the Holy Spirit can't be evicted from there. The smoke may continue, but the smoke is never enough to choke out God's plans for his people who plan to be a blessing right where they're at. God has plans for you, and God had plans for the Cretans that they would be the people who would turn that little island upside down, not under the values of Rome, but under the cross of Christ, and they were going to be turned upside down. God always has plans, even when ours get deterred. I remember Bryan Stevenson, an author and civil rights attorney. He would go and visit his grandmother down in South Carolina. And whenever he would come into the door, she would put her arms out and say, Bryan, come over here and give your grandmama a big hug. And she would squeeze him so hard that he couldn't breathe. Some of y'all probably do the same thing. Okay, Grandma. Squeezed him so hard till he said, I couldn't breathe anymore. He said, and she would say to him, did you feel that? He said, yes. I can't breathe, Grandma. You're going to kill me. And if he didn't say he didn't feel it, she would grab him and hug him again. You see, his grandmother was trying to teach him something very important. She said to him, the most important thing about people is you can't change them from a distance. You have to get up close and personal. See, Paul and Titus had to get close and personal. Paul was trying to teach Titus, as he was going to pastor this new Cretan Christian church, that is only as he got close to them, only after he is walking in their shoes, only after he is pastoring with patience and goodness and kindness and revealing the love of God, that they would begin to change because he got approximate to their lives. The most amazing thing about Jesus is that he could have just faxed us. He could have just texted us, hey, I love you. He could have just said, you know what? I'm going to have some other people speaking on my behalf, and I'll let you know what I think sometime later. Jesus, from the words of John, the Word became flesh, and he moved into the neighborhood. It is these words that enriched what Paul and Titus was doing, is that they were being rebirthed and renewed through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is always getting close into our lives and reminding us again that we are saved by grace, not by works, that God has plans for us, and God has plans even in spite of us, because he promises to do something new in our lives when our plans go to shart, when they go not the way that we planned. I love it that this morning to see Catherine and Josie baptized. You see, as Reformed Christians, baptism reminds us is that God is hugging us close. I wish you could have saw God's arms around both of those children and around their parents. You see, you ought to remember your baptism, because in your baptism, God has reminded us, I'm hugging you close till you can't breathe no more. And you said to them, we are going to hug you close too. I wish we could have a hug fest right now. I don't want to mess up all the introverts in the world. But think about it, saints. Through the rebirthing and renewing of God's Spirit in these Cretan Christians, God was showing him and them that he still had plans for them, still to make something out of them, even in the midst of the Roman Empire, that they were going to make a difference in that and upon that island. Because the only way that we can change people is how we get approximate to them, how we get close to them. I'm always amazed that people, especially in churches, they love to sit closely to one another, like y'all doing right now. As long as you can have your personal space. Come on now. I know about this game. But also as Reformed Christians, we can't change people from a distance. We have to be approximate. And you see, what that building represents is the grave getting approximate to the hurts and the pains in the city and saying, it's okay. We ain't going nowhere. Hallelujah. You haven't moved for 140 years. And I hope there's another 140 in you. Paul and Titus got approximate. I was going for a massage way back in the day because when I played basketball, I hurt my back. And now I'm a little bit slower than what I used to be. But I had to go in and I met this woman who was my massage therapist, and her name was Meg. And Meg, always friendly young woman, she says, so what do you do? I don't want to tell her because that means there's less massage going on. I said, I'm a pastor. She's like, oh, where at? I said, on the southwest side. Which church? I told her the name of the church and said, oh, my dad used to attend there. Oh. And she began to tell me the story of when her and her dad went to church one Sunday. And as they were getting close to the door, her dad stopped. And he began to sweat. And he began to panic. And as his daughter is trying to figure out what is going on with him, he tells her these words, I can't go in. And she said, Dad, why can't you go in? I just can't. I don't think I'm good enough. And as Meg is telling me this story, while she's doing the massage, I don't want a massage anymore. Meg and her father never went back to church again. They were both suffering from not enoughness. That they were fed a steady diet, that they were never good enough or had done enough to embrace this grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives. That's not what they heard. And maybe if we're honest with ourselves, sometimes those voices get more louder than the voices of affirmation. And for the Cretan Christians, they heard it often enough. They were known in the Roman Empire as wild and crazy people that you should never, ever get involved with because they were uncouth. They were a mess. They were not the kind of people who would make the kind of Christians that other Christians could be proud of. Yet Paul and Titus said, we got a new story for you. We got a better story. And that story is this. They were justified by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would also inherit the hope of eternal life. And it was that story, that Paul kept drilling into them. It is not because of what you've done. It's not because of who you are. It is because of what God has done in Jesus Christ. You are justified because of what the cross has done. And if the cross says yes, nobody can say no. If Jesus says yes, nobody can say no. It was lovely what Pastor Christie read to say, and that we also had in our confession. If Jesus says yes to us, can't nobody say no. You don't get kicked off the Jesus team for a few mistakes. In fact, it becomes the very thing in which we invite others who continue to hear the voices in the basement rather than the voices in the balcony. Hi, y'all. They wave back at me. You see, that is what Paul and Titus was doing, of turning these Cretans into Christians. And if we think about that for us today, as you rethink about what is God's plan for that building, and as you rethink what is God up to, I leave you with these words. He who began a good work in you, he who began a good work in you, do you know the rest? He'll be faithful to complete it. He'll be faithful to complete it. He has started a work, and he'll be faithful to complete it in who? Let's pray. Lord, maybe this week we needed to hear that you are not done with us. Maybe there is someone here today who came here and the voices from the basement became much more louder than the voices from the balcony. We saw what happened on Wednesday night. Plans that were dashed. But Lord, we know you are faithful. You are faithful. You are faithful. And Lord, as this church begins to reimagine how they become a partner in helping to fulfill the challenge of those who are unhoused here in this area, here in downtown Grand Rapids, Lord, I ask that you would fill their imagination this week and for other times. And maybe even for our own individual family, that I think about for both Catherine and Josie, you have began a good work. And maybe if we're in our 80s and you're 90s, he has began a good work. And it is not about our faithfulness, but it is about your faithfulness to us. You who endured the cross and all of its shame, you justified us by your grace. You saved us. And Lord, we now open our hearts, open our minds, and we open our lives to follow you and to follow your footsteps wherever you go, that we may be a blessing and that people may know God has plans. And thank you for inviting us into those plans to be a blessing to anyone and everyone we come in contact with. We thank you and we give praise and honor to you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Let's stand together. People of God, go out and live as lights of Jesus. Receive God's blessing to you as you go out and be a blessing. May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his presence upon you and smile upon you and give you the gift of his tremendous shalom, his peace. Amen.